As we've been going through 1 Peter, the theme, it's a heavy theme in 1 Peter. You know, the theme of suffering and the reality of it. He just treats it as if it's the most basic, normal thing in the world, and why would you think otherwise? Why would you think otherwise that you would suffer? And that's Peter's approach to it. And it's not just Peter, it's the New Testament's approach to such things. In China, there was a pastor in Guangzhou. His name was Lin Xingyao. You may have heard of him. He's actually fairly well known in Christian circles anyway. And his sort of his life message, in one sense, was this. He said this. He repeated this all over and all over again. This was his message. More persecution, more growth. That was his message. It's what he was known for saying again and again. He pastored some unregistered churches in China for decades, a long time. Before he died a few years ago. He was 88 years old when he died, just a few years ago. But he experienced this, more persecution, more growth. Earlier in his life, when I guess the Chinese government wanted to get really tough with Christians, who'd they come after first? The pastors. That's who they go after first. The leaders. And so that's who they came after. And so Lin Xingyao spent 20 years in a Chinese labor camp before he was eventually released. And then went on, once he was released, he went back to pastoring unregistered churches. And then that more persecution, more growth. That's what he kept saying. Now, that practice, going after the leaders, isn't that how it always is? Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. That's a saying you find in the New Testament. Take out the leaders and the movement will die. That's the strategy, right? And so Peter's been talking about how we as Christians are going to face slander and persecution and all this kind of stuff. And so how much more will the leaders face it? And so today, Peter's going to actually talk to the leaders. He's going to talk to the elders. So 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. He says, so, literally the word there is therefore. So think so as therefore. That's the Greek word, therefore. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, the first thing we see in these verses, right off the bat, that's an idiom, right in the beginning, in verse 1, we see Peter's audience. And his audience is the elders. He says, so, I exhort you, elders. So, in a sense, I suppose today I'm going to talk to the elders. And yet, if you're not an elder, listen in. Because I'm going to talk to you, too, about elders. And we're going to talk about what makes a good elder. And what is an elder? We'll probably start there. And so, in Scripture, there are actually three different Greek words that are used interchangeably to refer to the same position. And all three of those words are used by Peter in the verses that we just read to refer to the same position. And the first of those words is elder. And so you see that word a couple times in verse 1, and then you see that word again in verse 5. The same word. The second word is shepherd. You see that word in verse 2, and you see that word again in verse 4, and you see that idea all throughout here when he talks about the flock, because you see the flock through here as well. And this idea of elders and shepherding go together. And in English, we have a word, pastor. And you may not know where the word pastor comes from, but the English word pastor basically means shepherd. In fact, we even have, we talk about pastoral scenes. And that's the idea. A shepherd is a pastor. And a pastor is a shepherd. The third word that Peter uses, and that the New Testament also uses in many different places, to refer to the same position, is overseer. You see that in verse 2 when he talks about exercising oversight. That's actually the word. This gets at authority. In other words, an elder has authority within a congregation. And it also gets at responsibility. And so all three of those words are used interchangeably in the New Testament to refer to the same person. And so what that means is this. A pastor is an elder. And an elder is a pastor. And a pastor and an elder are overseers over the flock, the people of God. That's the New Testament structure of the church. And Peter is using it that way here. Now, because they're all interchangeable, that doesn't mean that every elder necessarily has exactly the same specific role within the church. Elders can focus on different things. But broadly speaking, all elders have the same broad function. They're to shepherd the people, and they're to exercise spiritual oversight over the congregation. That's what elders are. That's what pastors are. That's what shepherds are. Now, Peter begins the whole thing with the word therefore in verse 1. It's the very first word in verse 1. The ESV translates it so. The NIV actually doesn't translate the word, and it should, because the word's there. And so, therefore, is referring back to the whole context of what he's been talking about. So you've got to remember what he's talking about. So what's he been saying? He's been saying, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that is coming on you to test you. And then he talks about that a little bit. He's been saying, well, for judgment begins at the household of God. This is the kind of stuff Peter's talking about. Therefore, since all that's true, since judgment begins with the household of God, and since this fiery trial is coming and God's people are going to suffer and be persecuted, and since this is true, therefore I exhort you, elders, shepherd God's people. That's the flow. In other words, elders, the people are going to face difficulty. They need you. But also, elders, while the people will face difficulty, the culture is coming after you too. You're the leaders. Shepherd anyway. Don't back down. That's, I think both of those ideas are there. The first idea, for the sake of the people. The second idea is just a reminder to the elders that, hey, the heat might get turned up. Shepherd God's people anyway. Be strong and courageous, as Joshua would put it. And, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd is Christ. Now, that's the flow of this text. Peter's reasoning. And so I want to sort of unflesh some of this a little bit and talk about what it looks like. And so, in light of the fact that being a Christian is difficult, how should the leaders lead? So, verse 2. They are to shepherd the flock of God among them. Okay, question. Whose flock is it? Look at verse 2 and tell me whose flock it is. God's flock. That's the first thing an elder has to understand. Because sometimes when you're in a position of leadership, you can start thinking, these are my people. And they're not my people. I don't own a flock. They're God's people. It's His flock. It's Christ who died for you guys. Mike did not die for you. Christ died for you. You belong to Him. As a pastor, I'm a under shepherd. I'm a manager of sorts, but I don't own. Elders have to have that mindset. They have to be that way. And so elders are to shepherd God's people. That's what elders are to do. And so shepherding involves a lot of different things. What is a shepherd? What's this mean? It involves a lot of stuff. But this is going to be an incomplete description, but I'm going to go over a few things of what shepherding involves. First, shepherds lead sheep. That is the job of a shepherd. Think for a moment of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's this aspect. I mean, the psalm itself just flat out says, the shepherd leads the sheep. And if you know what shepherds do, that's what they do. They lead sheep. And so, sheep do not lead shepherds. Shepherds lead sheep. And so the shepherd says, hey, sheep, we're going up that hill because there's some good pasture up that hill. And the shepherd begins to lead the sheep up that hill and says, let's go. Now, this idea of leadership is important shepherding. In fact, frankly, I think it's the central. There's a lot more to shepherding than this, but it's what a shepherd is. And it's important because I think sometimes people get this idea that shepherding is nothing more than the spiritual gift of service or caring or something like that. And that's a part of shepherding. But that's an incomplete picture of shepherding. It's not really just a spiritual gift of something. It's a lot more complicated. There's a lot more involved in it than that. Shepherds lead. And yet, shepherding is more than leadership. It's leadership with a heart. The heart has to be there. If the heart isn't there, it isn't shepherding. Shepherds care. Shepherding needs to be warm. What this means is that elders, pastors, are not generals moving army pieces around coldly, like strategy. Elders need to know you. That's important. Elders need to know you. And, by the way, you need to know them. That's also important. That means that Jim and Hondi and I, we need to be in your lives. Because if we're not, it's hard for us to know you. And when I say be in your lives, I don't mean, I don't know if you know the English word meddle. Do you guys know the English word meddle? M-E-D-D-L-E? That's where you're in someone's life in a bad way. That's where it's, I'm sure you've got words in your languages for this word. It's where, you know, your mom is wanting to run your life and you don't want your mom to run your life. Okay, that's the word meddle. Okay, elders are not your mom trying to run your life for you. When I say we need to be in your life, that's not what I'm talking about. It's just that we need to know you. That's what I'm talking about. And you need to let us know you and let us be in your lives. In America, culture is a little different from your cultures. This may not be so much of an issue in your cultures, but in American culture, Americans really love privacy. They really do. And I'm not going to go on and talk on privacy, but don't be so private that your leaders can't know you. Now, that may not be much of an issue in your cultures, like it is in America. But it is in America. So elders are shepherds. They are not kings. They are not CEOs. The difference is a shepherd works in the field with the sheep. Where the sheep are, the shepherd is. The shepherd walks with the sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. That means that your elders need to feed you. They need to feed you the Word of God. That's spiritually your food. And they need to feed you well. Your food. If they don't do that, they're not shepherding. That's a central aspect to shepherding. Pastors that don't really teach the Word of God are not shepherding their people. They may be doing something else, but I would hesitate to call it shepherding. Because the people aren't getting fed very well. And good shepherds feed the sheep. Peter says in verse 4, he talks about the chief shepherd. And it's a reference to Jesus as the chief shepherd, meaning he's the chief, as elders, we're under Jesus, in a sense, as shepherds. He's the main shepherd of the people. Psalm 23, I quoted it earlier, says, "The Lord is your shepherd." And so when we talk about this shepherding thing, we as elders, we have good examples. We have Jesus. We have God, the Father, because they're shepherds too. They're examples for us as under-shepherds. And it means that we elders need to first love the Lord. That's the source of good shepherding. You want good shepherding? Look at that chief shepherd and love him. And as you look at that chief shepherd and love him, he'll work his shepherding in you. The reality is, we will lead God's people better when we know and love God deeply. That's just true. What that means for you guys is you want a pastor who loves Christ. That's something you should look for in a pastor. Whenever you go to a church, wherever you, when you move or, you know, whatever, when you go to a church and you're looking for a church, what are you looking for in your pastor? That's number one. That's the first thing I'm looking for. Does this guy really love God? Because that man will care for you. If he really loves the Lord, he's going to care for you. Now, he then talks about this issue of oversight. Jim and Handy and I are responsible before God for the spiritual oversight of this church and of you guys. That's verse 2, where he says we're exercising. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Then he's going to tell you how. But exercising oversight. Part of that means we are responsible for keeping watch over your souls. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says it this way. He's talking about elders. He says to them about the elders. He says, "They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Now, if you're an elder, that's a sobering thought. The author of Hebrews is saying that we elders will give an account to God for how we kept watch over your souls. We have that responsibility. It's a spiritual responsibility. That's what oversight is getting at. Shepherding involves leading you. It involves feeding you the Word of God. It involves overseeing your spiritual condition. It involves caring for your soul. That is shepherding. And that is what elders, pastors do. That's their job. Now, that's the job. Peter's then going to talk about how we are to do that job. in verses 2 and 3. So how should we do those things? So you should look in verses 2 and 3, and you should see not this way, but this way. Three times. And so when we shepherd, we're not to do it a certain way, but instead we're to do it a different way. We're to shepherd a different way. And so the first thing he says is not under compulsion, but willingly. And literally the Greek just says according to God. It's really difficult to translate what that phrase is in English, what it's meaning. It's easy to translate it literally. It means according to God. It's more difficult to translate what exactly, not but willingly according to God. What does that mean? I'm not sure. Exactly. I mean, I got lots of ideas. It could mean lots of things, probably all of which are true. Why does he say this? Not under compulsion, but willingly. Remember, leaders, in general, are going to face struggles probably greater than the flock is going to experience struggles. And Peter's been saying all along that the people are going to face persecution and slander and all kinds of stuff. Well, how much more will the leaders face it then? See, if leadership is going to put a target on your back, then you need to step into leadership freely, not under compulsion. It needs to be, you need to know what you're getting into and be okay with it as an elder. Guys, no one here is an elder because somebody has thumb screws on us and they're tightening the thumb screws down. And right? I don't have any thumb screws on you, I hope. Good.
My thumbs feel good.
For texting? Or because we're throwing guilt at him. Or whatever the reason. We hold people loosely here at AIF because if you're going to be held here, I want it to be God who's holding you here and not me. So I hold you loosely. And we do that. Where there is freedom in leadership, there is greater joy in it. And so that's why I believe he says not under compulsion, but willingly. Do it willingly. Shepherd God's people freely. Second thing he says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Shameful gain is basically, the idea is dishonest gain. The idea is money. It's what it is. It's what he's getting at. It means that our motives for shepherding should not be financial. Now, I suppose at AIF that's less of a temptation than it is at a megachurch. Sometimes pastors receive calls to very large churches, and it probably happens that sometimes the salary is the call. Now, I'm not naive. I believe that happens. I'm also not questioning the calls of men at megachurches, so please don't go there. I'm not doing that. But I'm not naive enough to think that never happens. That happens. Actually, when I was reading this section, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, the person I immediately thought of is a fictitious person. And those of you who know Pride and Prejudice know Mr. Collins. who's really pastoring for shameful gain. If you know the story. And that type of thing exists. We're not blind to the idea that that happens. But I believe, while it is true that the temptation is probably a greater temptation in large churches than in small churches, I still believe that even in small churches, the temptation can be there. And I say that because of who is writing this letter and to whom he is writing it. The churches Peter is writing to are simply not mega churches. And yet there's still that temptation that exists even in the first century churches all spread all across Asia Minor, what's modern day Turkey. And those churches were small, like this. They were probably more like this than they were like Austin Stone. But Peter is implying that the first century church, there was some kind of financial something going on, or this warning doesn't really make any sense at all. The church has probably paid something to their leaders in general. And AIF gives to both Jim and myself some income. We receive some income from this church. But that income is not to be our calling. We're not called to shepherd you for the income. And yet, there's nothing wrong with the income. Shepherds are not to work for money. They are instead to work eagerly. They're to work because they're to shepherd you because they're called to. They want to. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, hey guys, let that calling come from the heart. When you shepherd people, do it from the heart. And the third thing he says, not this, but this. So not under compulsion, but willingly. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. The third thing is not domineering, but examples. I'll just sort of summarize it that way. Literally, the domineering is not lording it over those who are entrusted to your care. Not lording it over them. What he is, I think he's getting at the idea of leadership with humility. That's, I think, the idea. You want humble leadership. That's what I meant when I said we're not kings. Elders are not kings, or generals, or CEOs, that's not what an elder is. Leadership in the church looks a little bit different from leadership in other settings. Instead, we are to be examples. That's what he says in verse 3. Not domineering, but being examples for the flock. What that gets at is how we live. An example is how somebody lives. Their life is an example. Do you want to know if you have a good elder or pastor? Look at his life. Look at it. Is he driven by money? Is he different in public than he is in private? You know, do you have a public shepherd and a private shepherd, and they're very different things? Sometimes there are. If he's married, how's his marriage? Or his family? How does he treat his children? he has children? Or how does he treat his wife if he's married? Is he hospitable? Does he lose his temper? Does he drink too much? Does he care for God's word from the heart? Or is his care for God's word just a show? All that stuff and more is how shepherds lead. They lead by example. That's what Peter is saying. We lead with our lives as elders or as pastors. And then he concludes by saying, to the elder, shepherd, pastor who leads well, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, there's going to be a reward. I think that's a special reward for pastors, elders. Jesus is going to give to his under-shepherds a crown, an unfading crown of glory, is what he's going to give to them. Now, I'm going to stop here. And we're going to close this way. I just talked to you about your leaders. What I want us to do now is we're going to have a time to pray. And I'm going to ask you guys to pray for your leaders. That would be Jim and Hondi and me. We're your elders. And the way I want you to pray is according to what we just read in 1 Peter 5. Pray for us as shepherds. Pray for us who are responsible for the spiritual oversight of your souls. Pray for us in giving you the word of God well, in leading you well, that we will lead freely, that we won't be tainted by other motives, that we won't lord it over you, but that God will give us humility. That those things, that's what Peter's saying. That's what he's commanding us as leaders to do, and I want to do that, for one. And personally, I think I need your prayers, and I bet Hondi and Jim will take them too. And then we're just going to open it up and ask you to pray for us as your leaders.